Welcome to Earth Speaking Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ernest E.J. Christian. It is Wednesday here, Super Bowl week Wednesday, and looking forward to Super Bowl this week. Eagles and Patriots kick off in a few days. As I said, we're going to have a great week of podcasts this week. Today's show is great. We have two interviews. We're going to have team-by-team perspective from two people on this podcast. First off, the Patriots perspective from Danny Picard, who was the host of the Danny Picard Show on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. It's one of my actually really good podcasts out of Boston, Boston perspective. But, you know, and even though I'm not a Boston sports fan necessarily, it is great content. I do subscribe to the show, and I do enjoy his podcast. So he'll be on the show in a couple minutes discussing the Patriots perspective of things. And then my good friend Ryan Aller, and if you listen to this podcast or any of my podcasts in the last 6-7 years, he's one of the early days. He's one of the guys that used to come on the podcast in the early days, in his infancy. You know, when we discuss football, basketball, anything surrounding sports, he would come on the show every Monday on the roundtables. He's on the show today. Big Eagles fan, great friend of mine. He gives his Eagles perspective on everything. I definitely want his because he's a diehard Eagle fan, but actually one of the nicest Eagle fans I've ever encountered, because there aren't really many of them that I've encountered. If you guys know my history with Eagles fans, it's not very pretty. But of course, subscribe to this podcast, of course, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, all that good stuff. Like I said, this is the last full week of podcasts for this show. Obviously, the season ends after this Sunday, and then we get to the off season. And a lot has been going on already this week. A lot, you know, I did say on Tuesday's show with Kyle that this week felt a bit anticlimactic. Like, it doesn't feel like a lot going on in the league right now. Things have kind of went stalemate. Yesterday was a different story. Two quarterbacks made some news yesterday. And the big news yesterday, of course, the blockbuster trade heard around the football world was Alex Smith getting traded from Kansas City to the Washington Redskins, which now pretty much confirms that Kirk Cousins will have a new team next year. So he's definitely the number one quarterback in the market next year, as he will take meetings, I'm sure, in Denver and with the Jets and all that. So Alex Smith to the Redskins. I like the move, really, for the Redskins, because I am an Alex Smith fan. I think he's a quarterback. He's not flashy, but he gets the job done. I would say he's a top 10 or 12 quarterback in the league still by virtue of his production. He had arguably his best year last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to go in the direction of with Patrick Mahomes, so that's the reason they moved him, and given the fact that it's Alex Smith's last year's contract. Now, that being said, the Redskins, it's been reported that the Redskins have already offered, and Smith has taken the extension that they offered him, so he's getting a 4-year extension on top of the 1 year on his deal next season. So he's getting $71 million guaranteed, which is a lot of money. He's getting, I think the number that I saw was $96 million for 4 years. Which again, quarterbacks are expensive. You want a quarterback, they're expensive. Alex Smith is 34 years old. I like the move. Will it be a bad contract in a couple of years? I don't know. We're seeing now quarterbacks play better into the mid-late 30s. You see Drew Brees, 38 years old, still playing high profile football. Of course, Tom Brady, 40 years old, arguably the MVP this year. So there is something to be said. Alex Smith takes care of himself. He's mobile. He's still really good. He gets a job done. He's efficient. I think this is a safe move. Does the marriage to him and Jay Gruden work? I don't know. We'll see how that works out. Jay Gruden's not a bad offensive mind. You know, gotten Kirk Cousins to play well these last couple of years. Gotten him paid on franchise deals the last couple of years. Now he'll get a big deal somewhere else probably this coming spring. So the Alex Smith move for me is a solid move for the Redskins. It's a solid and safe move. It's a safe move. You get a quarterback that you know that won't screw things up for you. He's a solid quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's damn sure is not Geno Smith either, okay? He's definitely a top 12 quarterback in the league, and I think you can win with Alex Smith. If you put the right components around Alex Smith, you can win with Alex Smith. You can be a playoff team with Alex Smith, and who knows? You get some breaks here and there, and you may find yourself in the Super Bowl like the Eagles did this year with Nick Foles. So it's that simple. Also, the other story yesterday was the Jacksonville Jaguars have committed to want Blake Bortles next year as their quarterback, which I agree with. I thought Blake Bortles, while he was not consistent as we would like him to be as a quarterback moving forward, as a guy who should be leading a team to hopefully to another AFC title game appearance next year or in the Super Bowl, I thought he showed some promise in stretches this year. I thought he showed some good football this year, and he really improved his stock as the year went on. Obviously, he had his struggles here and there, but when it counted, he played well. He played well in the playoffs. I mean, even that Buffalo game where he had, what, 85 yards passing, he still made plays when he needed to. He made plays with his feet. And to me, we can't get bogged down into stats all the time because sometimes stats can lie to you. To me, what I saw in that game was two teams playing solid defense, and that quarterback made plays to win. And to me, that's all that matters to me, really, in the end. And he had his team in the AFC title game within minutes of going to the Super Bowl. Okay, he played well against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and really played well against New England. Yeah, I mean, he could play better, but he didn't. I'll say something about Blake Bortles. He did not lose that game in New England. It wasn't him that lost that game. Okay, you can't blame Blake Bortles for that game. So I think the Jaguars made the right move here, committing to the quarterback, and hopefully he has upside. Now with this experience, you know, his playoff experience, maybe this can be a positive. They didn't sign him a long-term deal. If he fades next year and regresses back to the sucky Blake Bortles, then maybe you can move on from him and hit the correct market in the year after. But right now, I like this in the short term. Commit some more years to what you got and go forward. So that's just that. So anyway, Earth Speaking Football Podcast. Like I said, today's show, great. Two interviews, of course, Danny Picard coming on right now. We're talking about Patriots and all that. It's a great interview. And then later on, I'm going to have Ryan Aller, my good friend and old buddy of the podcast, talk about the Eagles' perspective of the show. Tomorrow's podcast, we're scheduled to have our own Zach Degenerate. We're going to discuss the Super Bowl lines and get some prop bets out there. And then, of course, the Friday Focus podcast. We're going to have our own Boston Jack break down the game analytically and go from there and see where we feel about the game. Our little Friday Focus podcast we do every Friday on this show. So without further ado, let's go to Danny Picard and talk Patriots on Earth Speak Football Podcast. And we're back on Earth Speaking Football Podcast. First time on the show, actually. I'm a really big fan of this guy. He is the host of the Danny Picard Show, based out of Boston, Massachusetts, of course. Follow him on Twitter, of course, at Danny Picard. Check out his podcast, of course, on iTunes, on Stitcher, all that good stuff. Danny Picard is here with us. Danny, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, it's funny. I've been listening to your podcast about a year, maybe a year and a half. I don't know if it's mutual friends necessarily, but it's mutual colleagues that, because look, you know, doing this, being in this business a long time, you know, you meet people and they tell you recommendations. And somebody about a year ago had told me to check out your podcast, and I'm like, okay, because I like even though I'm not in that market, I do like to hear perspectives from different markets, of course. And I tell you what, look, I'm a New York, although I live in Florida, I'm a New Yorker. I think the Boston fan base, sports fan base especially, is one of the most passionate in all America. And I like hearing some great perspective on all the teams, the Red Sox, Patriots, of course, Celtics, you know, Bruins, all that. So I love hearing your perspective on things in Boston, of course.
Well, thanks for that. I mean, I can understand that because I used to listen to Mike Francesa, and he obviously was in New York, and I actually watched him on the YES Network whenever I could because
right. –
You know, kind of like you just said, I enjoyed the other perspective just to see how other people were reacting to things. And obviously, you know, Boston and New York are always connected in the sports world, right, regardless of the sport. So, no, it's good to get a different perspective from somebody in another city. And I appreciate that you would listen to my show to come right and get to Boston.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna confess one to you here right now, okay? I'm not a Patriots fan at all. I'm actually a New York Giants fan, a New Yorker, of course, but I am rooting for you guys this week. I've been on record saying this for the last week and a half. One of my co-hosts of this podcast on Fridays, he's a big Patriots fan also himself, and we go back and forth about this, and I've been saying for the last week and a half, you know, feels good to be a Patriots fan last week and a half, because there is no way in hell, as a diehard Giants fan, I can root for the Eagles in any situation. This is the one situation where I will root for the Patriots at all costs. So, it feels good to be a Pats fan this week.
I could see, too, you want to be the only – you want your team to be the only team to have beaten the Patriots.
Correct.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, I can understand that as well.
Correct. I mean, and I know it sounds petty, of course, but you know what? So be it. I'm team – hashtag team petty. Who gives a crap? Want to get your thoughts on something real quick on with Tom Brady, the latest controversy with him and the host of WEEI, who made the comments about his daughter. I thought Brady handled that with class. I thought at his media session on Monday, I thought he was class personified. What are your thoughts on the comments and the whole back and forth and how he's handled it?
You know, I don't, to be honest with you, I mean, when I turn on media coverage during Super Bowl week, you know, I'm looking to get perspective on the game on Sunday. I mean, I think that it's taken on a life of its own. And maybe that's because when you look at the other side, the Philadelphia side, I mean, what else is there to talk about? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, right now, everything is Tom Brady. And, you know, I want to say it started with the Seth Wickersham story, but, I mean, it really started maybe with the Alex Guerrero stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, it goes back even further to the Garoppolo trade. But, I mean, all of this stuff, and now you got Tom versus Time, the documentary. You know, all the focus is on Brady anyways.
Of course.
And then you got the finger, you know, the finger injury, you know, the hand injury on his throwing hand. And you got all this stuff. You got the coordinators leaving. There's just all the drama is around Tom Brady right now. And I think anything that happens that has his name attached to it is always sort of blown out of proportion. Like, I think everything is just being exaggerated. And then when you talk about it's Super Bowl week, I mean, everything takes on a life of its own, and you know, the Super Bowl is larger than life. So, you know, anything that Tom Brady's name is connected to, I think is going to get blown out of proportion, and that's just another example of it.
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned the Seth Wickersham article from a couple weeks back before the playoffs started, and obviously I remember listening to the podcast you did on that. You actually did an emergency podcast on that. That same day or the day mm-hmm. after and over the weekend. And I remember you being really pissed about that. But I got to ask you this. That being said, let's say, and look, as I said earlier, I'm rooting for the Pats to win this game. But let's say hypothetically the Pats lose this game and say the Eagles win this game fairly convincingly. Is it possible that some of the elements, when you consider also the fact that they're going to have coaching changes, of course, Josh McDaniel going to Indy, Matt Patricia going to Detroit, mm-hmm. most likely, if they lose this game, is it possible that some of these elements you heard in that we read in the article with Wickersham could actually play out to some degree in the offseason?
I mean, I think the only thing that would really change the landscape of the Patriots next year is if Bill Belichick left, and I don't think he's going to leave. I mean, I think if they knew Bill Belichick was going to leave, I don't know that Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia would be leaving. I would think one of those guys would stick around and probably get that job.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes to the Wickersham article, I mean, one thing that I said was I actually believe a lot of those things probably happened. I mean, when you have a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who you think is going to be the next guy for your organization, you know, when his contract is up at the end of the season, like, those are conversations you need to have. You need to have internal conversations, an owner, a GM, a coach, whoever it may be, about what the future is and how you're going to handle it. I mean, those conversations can probably get heated. I don't deny that those things happen. In fact, I expect that those things happen. It's just when you read the article, I think one thing that's overlooked is that if we're believing that article to be true, then we're believing the Patriots made several contract offers that seemed to be pretty good deals for Jimmy Garoppolo to stick around on a 4-year contract, and he kept rejecting them. You know, that and Garoppolo and Brady have the same agent. I think there's no question the Patriots wanted to keep Garoppolo around, but I just don't think they could. It was either Brady or Garoppolo, and to get Brady right now just makes absolutely no sense from a football perspective and even from a business perspective. When you take into account, what are you still trying to do from a business perspective? I mean, yeah, going to the Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl, that's a football thing, but it's also a business thing. I mean,
absolutely.
You run your business based on championships, and if the Patriots weren't winning championships, they wouldn't have Patriot Place. You know, they wouldn't, you know, a lot of the stuff that they have down there in Foxborough wouldn't even exist. So, I mean, you got to keep trying to win as many championships as you can right now, and Brady obviously gives you the best chance to do that. I think the Wickersham article had some things that actually happened within the organization, but he exaggerated them. Like, I think when people talk about, well, the end of the Patriots organization, I think he probably had whispers that McDaniels was leaving, that Patricia was leaving, that maybe another coach was leaving. And he looked at that and exaggerated it. He overreacted and said, oh, but that's it. It's over. In reality, it's not over until Belichick or Brady leaves. And I don't think Belichick is leaving because he's got to know Julian Edelman returning next year. He's got to know Brady still is quarterback. and is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, I mean, there's a reason why right now the Patriots are already, and I don't mean to sound spoiled or arrogant right now, but there's a reason why the Patriots in Vegas are already the favorites to win next year's
Super Bowl. That's correct.
In my opinion, you don't walk away from that. And if Belichick was going to walk away from that, I don't think both McDaniels and Patricia would be leaving. And, you know, I think a lot of the stuff is just overblown. I think the Guerrero stuff, the ban, you know, the reported ban on him, I think that's overblown. I mean, Guerrero's still around. They didn't, you know, they didn't take away his office inside Gillette Stadium. If there was a full ban, they would have taken away the office. They would have, you know, told everybody they can't see him regardless of where they go to see him. It wasn't a ban. I honestly think that there were some other players that wanted their own trainers and their own guys to fly with the team and be on the sideline, to the point where Belichick had to put his foot down and say, okay, enough's enough. I can't deal with these requests. I can't deal with this stuff. Something's got to give. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think, you know, you get meetings with Brady. And sure, you know, Brady's probably upset with certain stuff. Belichick's probably upset with certain stuff. Kraft's probably upset with certain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to think that this is the first time those three have been upset with certain stuff, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
They've seemingly got through it all the other times. And, you know, I think as long as they keep winning, which, look, even if they lose this Super Bowl, again, I look at the AFC landscape and I say, who's going to stop them? Is it going to be Jacksonville? Well, they couldn't stop them this year, and they had one of the best defenses in the league. You know, maybe it could be Houston with Deshaun Watson. You know, maybe if Kirk Cousins now comes to the AFC East, he could throw a wrench into that division a little bit. But even still, I mean, I look at this thing and go, the Patriots are going to get better next year when they get Edelman back. So, I mean, I don't think Belichick's leaving, and I think the Wickersham article is exaggerated, overblown. And I think the Patriots will be intact next year, and I think that they will survive without McDaniels and Patricia.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I think the hard part here is that there is no precedence for this. There is no precedence for a 40. Look, we've had 40-year-old quarterbacks in the league play before, but not at the level of Tom Brady is playing. You know what I'm saying? And if Tom Brady is still doing the very thing you ask him to do, winning titles, and about to win a third in 4 years for the second time, okay, there is no reason to, even with the Garoppolo, and I get the future and long term, but right now, the past got to think short term. You can't you can't report the future right now when you're doing the very thing right now that you're trying to do anyway long term in the present. So I've always sided with Robert Kraft, and if he was the one in fact that said Brady should be the guy going forward, I've been Team Brady for a long time, and to me they're doing the right thing here. Brady should be the guy until the wheels fall off. He's earned that right. He's earned that privilege, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and one thing I think that's so overlooked in this town is, you know, when people complaining that they gave up the future and Jimmy Garoppolo, the one thing they overlook, they believe that Belichick doesn't care about the short term anymore. And I think that's insane. I mean, if Belichick has the mindset that a lot of people in this town think he has, which is, you know, he's going to show one day that he can do it without Brady, and he's going to have another quarterback. That's Belichick's mindset. Don't you think he's motivated to draft another guy this year and build him the next 2 or 3 years to be Brady's replacement and take just as much pride in that as he did building Garoppolo up? I mean, I didn't know Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots drafted him, but look what he turned out to be. You know, everybody in around the league has this love affair with a guy that really hasn't done anything in this league, and it's all because of Bill Belichick. Now you got people turning on Belichick saying, well, what are you doing? You traded Jimmy Garoppolo. Belichick's got to be sitting there going, what, you don't think I can do this again? I drafted Tom Brady in the sixth round. I drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. He hasn't even played in this league yet, and you guys all love him. What, I can't go out and take Baker Mayfield and turn him into a stud with the Patriots when Brady's done in 4 years?
I just love people, and I'm friends with a lot of Pats fans, even they've come to me in past years, you know, why is Belichick, I'm like, you're judging the guy that's won you 5 rings that knows more about football than anybody I've ever seen in my entire life, and you're going to sit here as a fan and tell me that you know more than Bill Belichick? Get out of here with that garbage. Seriously.
Yeah, I think people love drama. They love controversy. You know, if you drive around listening to the radio long enough, you'll drive yourself crazy, because there are theories that get thrown out every single day about Belichick and his relationship with certain people in the organization that just, you know, I mean, they'll drive it at Frank, but I just like this. Bill Belichick is somebody that if you're a Patriots fan and you don't trust him by now, you never will. And if you think that Belichick doesn't want to win Super Bowls right now, if you think that let's say we just talked about what if the Patriots lose.
Right.
Well, what if they win?
Yeah.
You think Belichick's, people think Belichick's not going to try to win back to back to back? In his mind, he's probably thinking, well, maybe I could win four in a row. Then nobody would touch me. You know what I mean? To think that he doesn't want to do that is just insane to me.
I agree.
And to think that he's not already looking at the draft, pinpointing a quarterback that he is thinking about building up to be the next Tom Brady, I just think is insane. You know he's doing it. You know he's got his eye on that. You know he's going to take a lot of pride in that. And you know he is going to look to stick it to all these people telling him that he traded, their future quarterback in Garoppolo, and he's going to sit there going, well, I created Garoppolo. I'll just create somebody else. Screw you. I just think that's his mindset. That's his personality.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
I don't think that's going to change.
By the way, I already said on record like years ago that if they want to change the Super Bowl trophy name to the Belichick trophy instead of the Lombardi trophy, I'm all right with that. He's earned that right, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if they did, I'm not going to complain, but it's the Lombardi trophy.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I want to talk about the Patriots dynasty because I've been saying for years, and I said this when Brady had three rings, that he was the greatest of all time, but whatever, that to me, this is the greatest dynasty in NFL history, and not because of the Super Bowls. To me, I've been saying for years, the devil is in the details, because a lot of times you see teams that have dynasties, that maybe they have a year or two where they drop off a little bit, miss the playoffs maybe 1 year here. To me, the reason why the past, to me, are the best dynasty of all time is the fact that it's not just Super Bowls, it's the fact that even when they don't win Super Bowls or say they get there and lose to the Giants, of course, twice, that they're always in the mix. They're always in the final four, always at least in the divisional round, all that. To me, the devil is in the details. That is why I've been saying this dynasty is now 17 years running, is the greatest NFL history. And then when you consider free agency and just everything in general, hard cap now in the NFL, you can argue maybe the greatest dynasty of all sports, honestly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, it comes down to expectations, right? And again, I don't mean to sound arrogant or spoiled, but facts are facts. Reality is reality. The Patriots are going to be at least one of the last eight teams in the league standing every single year, right? They're going to be in that divisional round. And, the last 7 years, they've been one of the final four teams standing in the AFC Championship, and then you add on the Super Bowls. The idea that a team goes to seven straight conference championships in any sport is utterly insane.
Yeah.
When you have people you have people in places that would be happy to just get, a wild card berth two straight years. Never mind get to the conference championship once. The Patriots get there seven straight years. It's insane. Tom Brady has spent, most of his football life in the AFC Championship, and right now it's an expectation for us. And I've mentioned this really the last couple of years. The reason that this is, the reason I enjoy this so much is because it's expected, because we look at the schedule at the beginning of the year here in New England and we go, all right, they're going to have 11 wins. They're going to have 12 wins. They're going to have 13 wins and they're going to be in the AFC Championship. I don't want to know what it feels like again to not have that expectation, to go into a playoff game going, I don't know if we're going to win this. I have no idea if the Patriots are going to have a shot.
Right.
I
think I'm older than you, right? I'll be 38 this year. And I remember a day when the Pats were winning one game a year. I remember those days of Dick McPherson and Hugh Miller and those. I remember those days before Drew Bledsoe and Bill Parcells. Believe me, it wasn't pretty. So to see what you in this 30-year gap, or 25-year gap, whatever you want to call it, it's night and day. And there's a lot of Pats fans who don't know that world. And, hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, but, it would be a culture shock if you would go back to even the 8-8 years, for that matter.
Yeah, I'm 35, so
there you go.
I was a huge Bledsoe fan. I was a huge Bledsoe fan.
Yeah,
and you know, I was a big fan of his because he could throw the ball down the field. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, of course.
It wasn't necessarily huge. I wasn't a huge fan of his because he was leading the team to the AFC Championship every year, because that obviously wasn't happening. So yeah, you know, I remember what that was like, and I remember what it was like to watch a Super Bowl and not really give a shit about it because the Patriots weren't playing. And
right.
Those days were terrible. You know, I kind of forget what those days were like. But again, like I said, the expectations are that they get there at the very least. And I don't really want to have to remember what it feels like to not have that expectation.
Absolutely. I have to ask you this, though. When do you think this – I mean, you said last year that they're the favorites, obviously, and I agree with that. But mm-hmm. in your heart of hearts, when do you think this dynasty ends? When do you think – 5 years, 3 years – 10 years, I don't know. In your heart, when do you think this thing comes to end?
Well, it's funny because obviously Brady's at the top of his game. And, you know, one thing in the whole Garoppolo madness that I was trying to tell people is that, look, if Brady's this good right now throwing the football, you know, I still think he's got a couple years left in him. Like, I don't think there's that cliff moment unless there's some horrific injury. And you know, the guy I point to Peyton Manning. I mean, he obviously had the neck injury, and that's a bad injury, right? I mean, that's something that a lot of guys don't even ever come back from.
Right, exactly.
He came back from it, and he wasn't really the same. And I look at that Super Bowl that they won with Peyton Manning. You know, you got that year with Brock Osweiler, and they went to him. Then they went back to Peyton late in the year. And,
right.
And you know, the reason they went back to Peyton is not because he could throw the football better than Brock Osweiler. You know, I think if you remember that year, Brock mm-hmm. Osweiler was pretty good throwing the football.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, he had weapons.
I was saying he should have been a starter in the playoffs, personally. That was my hot take that year.
And you know what? I was the opposite because I understood what they wanted. And what they wanted was the little things. They wanted the guy at the line of scrimmage who could read the defense, who could do a simple thing like, all right, the play was to run to the right side. Guess what? We're running to the left, you know, and change that before the ball is snapped.
Right.
You know, Osweiler couldn't do those things. And after the fact, you know, you heard Broncos just talk about that and say, you know, Peyton was just so good reading the defense before the ball was snapped. And he changed certain things and he would make it easier for us. He didn't have to throw the football 40 yards down the field on the money. It's just what he had between the ears was the thing that kept that offense going, that gave
right.
them a chance to win. And, you know, I think that when Brady gets to a point where, all right, he can't throw the football like he is now at an MVP level, you know, I think he has a couple years where he could still, with Bill Belichick, help the team win because he's such a smart quarterback, because he sees things on defense, because he does, like Henry says, give his life to the game and the preparation of the game, where – you know, a lot of that is football IQ, and I think he has it. And so when you ask me what the top table is here of the success this organization is going to have with Brady, I mean, I honestly think there's another 4 or 5 years here where they're going to have a shot, a realistic shot, or at least we're going to have the expectations of getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, I think he can do this into his mid-40s, and then let's see what it's like then. You know what I mean? But I do think we get another 4 or 5 years if
right.
you're asking me for a hard timetable.
Right. Okay. On to the game real quick. Point blank, did the Eagles scare you at all?
I think anybody that plays the underdog card that has a right to play that underdog card scares me a little bit. And certainly Philly does. I mean, they were such a good team all year long. And they were an underdog throughout the playoffs as the one seed with the games in their own building. You know, I think you, as a team, you can rally around that. And you know what? That scares me a little bit. But when I look at Nick Foles, you know, there's a reason why they were an underdog, right? It's because they had to go to their backup quarterback. And I just think that the trust I have in Bill Belichick, the game plan that they're going to cook up for him, the changes that they're going to make at halftime on Nick Foles. You know, I think the second half will tell a lot about where Nick Foles is at as a starting quarterback in this league, because you know the Patriots are going to do some things. You saw it in the Jacksonville game. The second half, their defensive scheme was just completely different. I mean, they got creative. They had blitzes coming from everywhere. They had Malcolm Butler coming in. They had safety blitzes with Chung coming in. I mean, they mixed it up. And I think that they all of a sudden changed the mindset of Jacksonville's offense. And I think that's what they're going to do to Foles. And I'm not so sure he's ready for that. Again, he's a backup quarterback in this league. And there's a reason why he's a backup quarterback. It's not just because Carson Wentz is so good. And Carson Wentz is that good. I'm not trying to take anything away from Wentz. But Nick Foles is a backup, would be a backup, I think, in a lot of other places. Now, did he earn himself a starting job with that performance against Minnesota? Yeah, he might have. But I'm not so sure that starting job is going to last for him too long. So when I do break this game down, I think for the Patriots, it comes down to you got to protect Tom Brady. If you can do that, I don't think on the other end that Nick Foles, especially in the second half, is going to be able to keep up with Brady and Patriots offense. So I think it's going to be close, and I'm going to take the Patriots to win. But I think the biggest difference maker is going to be just, hey, Nick Foles is a backup. And I think that's going to come out when we check game plans for him, especially changes some things at halftime.
Well, we'll hear it on Picks tomorrow. You're doing the podcast tomorrow, right?
You will, yep.
Yeah. Rob Gronkowski said he expects to play on Sunday. Now, of course, he had the concussion against the Jaguars in the AFC title game. We know how important Brady is. But is it fair to say that Gronk might be the most important team player on this team? To
no.
me, he's the greatest cheat code ever created, I think, in the NFL. It's a great cheat code.
Put it this way. I think he is extremely important this year because they don't have Edelman.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You saw what this team looked like. What game was it this year? Was it the Miami game? It was the Miami game.
They played
without Gronk and Edelman. I mean, when was the last time they had done that? I mean, you can go back. They had only done it once. I think it was the game actually against Philly a couple of years ago, where they were without both of those guys. I mean, they at least have one of those guys. And last year in the Super Bowl, they won it without Gronk. So I think it would be a little crazy for me to say that, but it's, again, without Edelman, sure, they need him.
Yeah.
They absolutely need Gronk. I think he will play. I think the Patriots, they've never been completely honest with their injury report. I mean, what's he's playing video games yesterday? Last time I checked, yeah. You know, if you have a serious concussion, you can't be sitting there playing video games. So I'm pretty
sure. But Gronk is a matchup nightmare. I mean, I said it for the last 5-6 years. I think he's the greatest cheat code ever created.
Oh, of course. I mean, he is absolutely a matchup nightmare. But, you know, if you told me he wasn't going to play, I wouldn't necessarily tell you it's a guaranteed loss for the Patriots. Obviously, it would be a much bigger loss this time around because you don't have Edelman.
Absolutely.
But when I look at this game, I think if they can protect Brady, you know, there's one guy that I'm pinpointing in this one that I think is going to have a huge game. You know, I just talked about Philly and how they play the underdog role. And you know, there's something there with that scares me a little bit. Because there's a certain mindset that, you know, if a guy has a reason to go out there and perform, you know, then I'd put my money on that guy. And for the Patriots, I think that guy's Deion Lewis. I mean,
yeah.
You heard him this week down at media night. They asked him about his time in Philly and what he remembers. And he said, I remember not playing. and you know, I just think that Deion Lewis is somebody that's going to have something to prove.
Oh, no doubt.
But it's not just because he's playing his old team. It's also because of a future contract. It's also because, you know, he had that fumble in the AFC Championship.
Right. And,
yeah,
and he missed last year's game, too, didn't he? He missed last year's game as well, too, with the injury, didn't he?
Look, he had the – I mean, you just go back to the last game they played.
Right.
I mean, he had that fumble against Jacksonville. And, yeah, he had that run up the left side. And you could say, well – you know, that now he forgets about the fumble. Well, I mean, I still think he probably looks at this like he has to prove. This could be the Deion Lewis game. I just have that feeling. I have that sense. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about Gronk. And he's, like you said, I'm with you. You know, he's the best cheat code in the NFL. But I just have this feeling. You asked me for a hunch and a feeling and a guy that's going to have a big day. I think Deion, this could be the Deion Lewis game. I really do believe that.
I like that. So look, if he prop bets MVP odds, Deion Lewis.
I would say, I mean, look, when they give the – do they ever give the MVP? I mean, if they were to give it to a receiver, you know, it's that means the quarterback had a big day as well, and most of the time they just give it to the quarterback. So if somebody else is going to get it on the Patriots offense, you know, whether it's James White or Deion Lewis, I would put my money on Lewis.
Right. Anyway, follow Danny on Twitter, of course. His great, first of all, on Twitter at Danny Picard. His great podcast, The Danny Picard Show, every day, every Monday and Thursday, I believe, right? Monday and Thursday, you drop
Monday
on
Thursday.
iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. Danny, thank you so much for your time. You went well aboard, which is great. Great content. I really appreciate it. Hope to have you on the show again soon, man.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. Thank you. Back on our Speaking Football podcast, of course. I'm here with my very good friend, actually an old friend of the podcast. It's been a couple of years been on the show, man, but glad to have you back. Ryan Oliver, what's up, man?
What's good, bud?
Bro, it's been a long time, man. It was last time a couple of years we used to do Mondays and
Bagel Mondays, as a matter of fact.
Bagel Mondays was the best, wasn't it?
Little schmear.
I miss those days, man. I really do.
Me, Chris, those are the days.
Yes, sir.
Zach, buddy.
If you remember, if people follow this podcast the last, 6-7 years, you remember Ryan's a big-ass Philadelphia Eagles fan. His boys are back in the Super Bowl. For me, unfortunately, but look, it's cool. I already told Ryan, if the Eagles win this game, I'll be happy for him. That's it. That's him. Because, my history of Eagles fans for years, dating back to childhood, it ain't pretty, man.
Agreed.
So, let me ask you, I guess let me ask you this, because we were talking during the year, off the record, of course. And obviously, Philadelphia had a phenomenal year. Carson Wentz, you can still say arguably probably MVP of the league, even after missing the last two games of the year. Pretty much is the guy that, controlled this whole thing. Had the Eagles the best record in the league most of the year. And then he goes down. And I remember talking to you, you said, dude, there's no way this team can win a playoff game, much less two, much less go to the Super Bowl. How shocked are you right now that the Eagles are in this spot now?
Oh, it's beyond anything I thought could happen. I really thought when Wentz went down, he was the heart and soul of the team at that point. Yeah. He was making plays and like you said, arguably MVP, especially after that game in LA. I mean, four touchdowns, even the throw, the game-winning touchdown with the torn ACL. I mean, it was amazing to see. And his second year, you don't think he's going to make that big of a jump, and he did, and arguably was MVP at that point. I mean, I couldn't see it. Now you can say Todd Gurley or a couple other people, but, I mean, at that point, I thought that game, he solidified himself as MVP. And to see him go down then, and then you were thinking, me personally, I know as an Eagle fan, I'm always rooting. I always want to see him win, but there's your heartbeat right there. It's gone,
Yeah. And I know Hawaii football wins. I'm a big Wentz guy. I was on the Wentz wagon way early. I remember first 2 weeks in, I saw the optic. I saw it. This guy's going to be a top five quarterback in the league in the next 2-3 years. I just see it. How early were you on the Wentz train?
Oh, I was in way early on it. I mean, you had to be, what they gave up for him and not really having a franchise quarterback since Donovan. And it's been 14 years since we've been to a Super Bowl. I mean, you had to be all in on the kid. You liked the way he played, the way he stood in the pocket, the way he took hits, the way he got up, his arm strength, his mobility. I mean, to me, I saw it from day one. And I mean, I didn't think he'd make that big of a jump second year, but I thought we would be, 10-6, somewhere around there, 9-7, making strides. But you got to figure, new coach, new quarterback, you don't think you're going to go that big that early.
Right. And it's funny, too, because a lot of prognosticators, before the year started, there's a lot of people saying the Eagles are the division. I didn't understand it at all. Why the Eagles? I mean, yeah, it'll be improved, but I didn't think they'd be a playoff team, much less a division winner. The Giants maybe doing well, and obviously Dallas had a great year last
season.
Even
the Cowboys. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah. I didn't get it. I remember Colin Cowherd kept saying Philly's winning the NFC East. I'm like, I know Wentz is great, and I'm the one that was on the Wentz wagon before anybody else was on it. But I just didn't see that turnaround so quickly. And then look, we're now fast forwarded to now late January, early February, during the freaking Super Bowl. Now it's
I know.
See this turnaround, man.
Well, well, I thought that division would beat each other up too, because it's such a tough division. I mean, even the Redskins, you know, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago. So it wasn't like every team was good in that division. I mean, the Cowboys had an off year dealing with Zeke stuff, and the Giants obviously didn't do what they were supposed to do. A lot of people even had them going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Not me.
You know, with the, I know, not you.
No.
But that defense and, you know, even that offense, I mean, the only thing that was lacking was a running game there. But, I mean, they still had a, you know, everybody, I had a lot of people, you know, say to me, I think the Giants can win the whole thing. So, you know, you look at that division top to bottom, you're thinking 9-7, 10-6 could realistically win that division.
Right. And the thing is, too, I think what's incredible about the Eagles this year, too, especially, if you look at the NFC, if you look through the entire year, the NFC, how great it was all year long. Like, 10 wins didn't guarantee a spot in the playoffs, number one.
No, didn't even give you a division.
Right, you know? Exactly. So you look at the NFC and what all the, you know, all the big mountains you had to climb, you know, just to get through to the title game, of course, you know, and the Eagles being able to get home for advantage, and then be able to actually beat some really good teams. I mean, Atlanta was in the Super Bowl last year. You know, that was a gimme game. You know, so I think the Eagles fans have a lot to be proud of with this team. And I don't know, I'm not an Eagle fan, obviously, but I will admit this on record as a Giant fan, of course. This is a very likable Eagles team, very likable team.
I thought when we made the trade for Ajayi, I was like, okay, I'm all in now. We got a run game around this kid. We got a solid front seven that is interchangeable. I mean, you could throw in, you know, any guy. You throw in Graham. You could throw in, you know, Hendricks. You throw in Chris Long. The acquisitions I made in the offseason, I thought the defense would be really good. I thought it would be a little suspect in the secondary at safety. But even that's been solid. I mean, the defense has been honestly what's carried us here. I mean, Nick Foles played out of his mind. Let's call it what it is. I mean, that Minnesota game, I looked like it was going to get away from us early. They went down the field, 9 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, and people are panicking. And then they're driving. They're about to go up 14-0 in interception to the house, 7-all, and then it was Kurt.
That was it.
There. I mean, that was it. It was a done deal. And Nick Foles, I mean, that kid to come in and play that big of a game at that moment, probably for him, the fan base, the city, was amazing to see, amazing to watch, and I just hope this ride continues and he brings one home too.
Yeah, and you know, Nick Foles, by the way, I think now with this performance last couple of weeks, I think he's definitely priced himself out of Philadelphia. I mean, he's definitely, because this is still gonna be this is gonna be Wentz's team no matter what. So, but
yeah.
You know, I think Nick Foles got a second chance because this is a guy who almost considered retiring a few years back.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I saw that piece, and the only reason why he came back was, you know, he asked his wife. He felt comfortable, you know, with Philadelphia. He was okay being a backup. Obviously, you know, the coach was his quarterback coach, and he was comfortable with everything. And like you said, he almost retired. So for him to be in this moment and probably what it means to him personally and to the city that he chose to come back to. I'm sure he's playing, you know, maybe a big contract somewhere down the line. I'd love to see him stay. You know, early reports that Wentz could be back, but you never know. And even if he's back, isn't it nice to have that luxury as Foles? I mean,
absolutely.
This guy, if he wins you a Super Bowl, I mean, first of all, he'll never pay for a meal in Philadelphia again.
Although I will say, though.
You know, he
No, I will say though, like, and I maybe told you this right before the playoffs started. I thought, you know, I got the fact that because they played so poorly ending the year against Oakland and Dallas, that you could have said, okay, the Phillies is a dead man walking, and Nick Foles hasn't played well. But there is precedence for a quarterback's playing well late in the year as a backup quarterback coming in, you know, on short notice and doing these things. We saw it with my boys back in 1990 with Jeff Hostetler when Phil Simms went down to Buffalo week 15. Hostetler comes in and they don't play well for a couple weeks out the gate, and then they figure things out in the playoffs. You know, there's precedence there. I thought the Nick Foles narrative was a bit overplayed. This isn't a guy that hasn't only started 2 games. This guy has 50-plus starts under his belt. I mean, he's played in playoff games before, too, by the way, in Philadelphia. This is not something that's new to him. So I thought the media and I thought a lot of people overplayed their hand on the Nick Foles narrative just a bit.
The way I said it was I give him – you know, the last couple games of the season is like preseason. Let them get the rust out. Let them, you know, let them work with the number ones. Let them, you know, get everything down. I don't think the playbook was a challenge to him, but I think just getting the reps and getting timing down. And then he also had 2 weeks to prepare for Atlanta. So,
yeah,
you know, you give somebody 6 weeks, and hopefully they're going to get it. And he did. If something clicked. The Atlanta game, he played fine. I mean, you got to remember that play with the off the defender's knee and you know, I think it was Aguilar who caught it and brought it down to, you know, midfield and Alshon out of bounds with 1 second left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference of them winning and losing right then and there, because it's a 2-point game and all Atlanta has to do. So that field goal before the half is really, really big. And I don't think people understand, you know, 10-9 at the half is huge. It's huge for that game.
Yeah.
And Atlanta got the ball back second half too. So it was really big.
How does this year's Super Bowl preparation for you differ from the one 13 years ago in Jacksonville?
It's no different because obviously it's the same team, and you know, how do you prepare against Tom Brady and the experience he brings? And the one thing I'm saying, and I hate to say this, is I don't want to be up at halftime as an Eagles fan. I don't want to see like 24-10 at the half because I don't even want to watch the second half. But I mean, of course, I want them to be up and just, you know, the whole bell to bell just win. But for some reason, Tom Brady is the GOAT. He is the greatest ever. I will not deny it. You will not get, I mean, Montana is great. But we've seen this. We've seen this play out time and time and time again. And it's not like the Patriots blow anybody out of any Super Bowl. I think the biggest win they had was 6 points in overtime. You know, everything's either 3 points, 4 points. So they play tough, and they just find a way to grind it out and win every single time they're there, except for your Giants, of course.
Yeah,
of and course. Even then, it took a miraculous, you know, couple plays. And,
yeah.
And for some reason, you hate to say it, but they are the standard in the NFL. They are, you know, they are a modern-day dynasty. And
well, I've said right, they're the greatest dynasty, I think, in football history, because to me, I've been saying all along for years now, it's not just the Super Bowls, the devil's in the details. They don't fall off. Like, even when they don't make the Super Bowl, right, they're always in the Final Four every year. So, we're like, you know, the devil's in the details.
Exactly. I think if you look past the past Brady, you know, Belichick years, I mean, it's probably some of the best you will ever see in football, hands down, especially with the salary cap. And the league, you know, wanting parity. I mean, let's face it, they are the gold standard. They are, when you think, you know, best franchise in football, best coach, best quarterback, you look at the Patriots. So the preparations aren't any different. It's just the expectations. I'm a little bit more comfortable this time around because of the defense. And that's the only thing that I can say. I think our defense is better than it was 13, 14 years ago going into the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I think our front seven and our linebacking core is probably the best in the league. I mean, Minnesota's amazing too, but other than that, we could put in interchangeable front seven and it's just, they stay fresh and they go after it.
I gotta be honest with you, and I don't know if I told you yet off the record, but if you ask right now who wins the game, I'm rooting for the Patriots to win the game. I've been very vocal about that with you and everybody else.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest with you. Like, if you ask right now as an unbiased fan, like, who wins this game, I'm leaning Philadelphia, to be honest with you. This team, this Eagles team, reminds me of the Giants team in 07. The fact that they can have defensive linemen and rotate guys fresh and still be able to be consistently good in that environment. It's what the Giants did in 07. They had guys that... Look, Justin Tuck in 07 had 2 sacks against Brady. He was a backup that year. Okay? So, again, the rotation thing, it's a real thing. To me, this game falls on Nick Foles. Like, if Nick Foles... This doesn't have a great game. Just don't make any mistakes. Move the chains. Don't make mistakes. Rely on your run game, which you have a really good one in Blunt and Ajayi. You're going to be fine.
Agreed.
So,
And I also think that the Patriots defense is a little suspect this year, too.
Oh, yeah. I think of the eight Super Bowl teams, Brady Belichick teams, this one is definitely the most vulnerable one. This includes the two Giants teams also, too, that beat them.
Yeah.
So if you ask me,
I'm sure Gronk's going to play. I don't see why, you know, I've heard reports that, you know, it's questionable, but I think he'll play. I mean, you know, this one game and it's been 2 weeks since he suffered that concussion, so I don't expect him. Their offense is really good. I mean, White and Amendola's playing big, and Hogan, and that, you know, you got Gronk. I mean, their offense is great. Don't get me wrong. But I think their defense is suspect for this game. I really do. I think if the Eagles can put up 28 to 30 points, I think they can win this game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be, 6-9 game. It's going to be some offense played. It's just whose defense can hold up the best. And I honestly think, like you said, looking at it from a bias point of view, I would say the Eagles defense is much better on paper than the Patriots.
I got to ask you, if the Eagles actually win there for a Super Bowl finally, what's their going to be reaction at home?
Oh, my God.
I mean, are you going to go streaking? You going to go out down in Lake Worth streaking? What are we going to do?
Well, originally I was going to fly up to Philly, and I figured I'd be there with two gas cans and a pack of matches. But,
God.
I figured I owe that to you, a good thrashing, but I decided not to go. I'm going to watch it with some friends, and I might cry. I mean, honestly, that might be the first reaction. I don't even know. I mean, it's going to be something. I'm sure I'll Snapchat a video, and I'm sure you'll see, but I don't know. There might be some streaking. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to try to keep it PG, but I guarantee you it's not going to end up that way.
I know you too well. That won't be PG. It'd be at least PG-13.
No.
At least PG-13.
Yeah, there's going to be some explicit flying, and there's going to be some tears shed, and there's going to be, I can't think. I mean, when the Phillies won the World Series, it was great, but I don't think that city is prepared for what's going to happen if the Eagles actually do win, you know?
And not just the Eagles winning, it's this team that was counted out even as a number one seed in the final weeks of the year and going into the playoffs. I mean, if they win this game, oh, my God. I mean,
And that's something you can't bet against. It's somebody who just, that whole underdog thing they've been playing up. I mean, everybody had them as a six seed in the playoffs. Nobody thought they were going to make any noise. I mean, I thought the hardest game in front of us was the Atlanta game just because the experience, Matt Ryan, how they were playing, that division too. I mean, I didn't want to see New Orleans personally. I thought we had a better shot against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That proved to be right. I mean, that New Orleans game would have been a tough, tough game. That team, nobody wanted to see in the playoffs. Nobody.
Yeah.
For what they did and what they overcame, mm-hmm. Like you said, this team is. It would be unbelievable because it's like, like Doug says, it was like they like the underdog role. They would rather nobody talk about them winning. They would rather think nobody would want them there because they feed off that.
And again, that made it. I said it all along. I think that made it more dangerous. Like, when I pick Atlanta, it wasn't about Philadelphia to me. I said Philadelphia had a good chance to win this game. It was about Atlanta playing so well down the stretch and then beating down the Rams, who I thought might be the scariest team in the entire NFC. So it wasn't about Philadelphia. It was more about Atlanta. And once they beat Atlanta, we all should know, look, Minnesota's dead man walking. Because even with Minnesota beating New Orleans, the emotion out of that game, and Minnesota's, they actually looked a little bit timid toward the end of the year anyway. We all should have called the Philadelphia win during the championship game. I don't know why, what got into all of us who thought the Vikings would win that game. But I don't know, man. Yeah. But the underdog, I mean, you guys have embraced that role. And I tell you, look, you beat Brady in the Pats. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, I know the feeling, obviously, man. But if you do it now, I mean, it's I tell you, I just hope and pray that the cops continue to put Crisco oil on the poles and hopefully, please, Philly fans, look, I know I'll give you all shit, but please stop punching police horses, please.
Right.
Stop doing that, dude. You wonder why we make fun of you guys all the time. This is why. So
it would be kind of cool to see them like just really embracing and rejoicing this one and not take it too far. But I they're just so passionate. I don't think they're. There's probably not a fan base that I've seen as passionate as Eagle fans.
No,
for some reason, I don't know why. I think Raider fans are up there, but I mean, there's nothing like Eagle.
No, I agree.
Even on the road, they show up. I mean, and if you look at this, you looked at the whole NFC. Early on, I wasn't really scared of anybody because you saw, Minnesota's got a backup quarterback now. New Orleans was coming around. But there was no everybody coming to Carolina, and then we beat them. So I was like, there was really nobody I was scared of. Rams right. come on, you saw the Saints come on, you saw, you know, Atlanta come on, and the top six looked tough. I mean, everybody in their like you said, the picking and pronosticating had the Eagles not even making it past Atlanta. So for this team to come this far, I'm happy. I'm excited for the game. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great – I'm hoping for a great Super Bowl. I'm obviously hoping for an Eagles win. But just to get here for what they've overcome, you know, we lost Sproles. We've lost, you know, Wentz. We've lost some key defensive players. This team, I think, as a whole, just to be where they're at and, mm-hmm. and to watch them play this year has been so exciting to see. And really, I couldn't be more thrilled of the performance they put on week to week.
I am surprised, though, there is no prop bet on Nick Foles throwing up on the field like McNabb did back 13 years ago. I am surprised. I am really surprised there's no prop bet on that one. It should be a prop bet because this is a big deal for him, though. And not only that, he's going to pay day on this one, too, probably, most likely. So.
Oh, yeah. So. I was watching the replay of that game the other day, and, you know, they had such a chance to win that game early. They could have put him away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, McNabb throws, you know, two picks early. It was just, I mean, T.O. played out of his mind. That game was theirs for the taking. I mean, you can't ask Donovan to throw 60 times, throw up in the huddle, and win a game, I guess. But they were in it. Like I said, every Super Bowl, somebody's got a chance. It's just a couple plays here, a couple plays there that don't go away, and that's the Patriots win. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's been like that time after time. So I'm hoping that we just throttle them and blow them out. I don't even want it to be close. If we're going to be up at halftime, I would rather it be 31-0 because
of course.
And I don't even think that's safe.
Of course. And finally, I'll let you go. And I want your unbiased opinion here. Give me your prediction for this game. How do you feel, real honestly, football wise?
I mean, I think, like I said, I think it's going to be high scoring. I think that both defenses are going to play well. I think that the Eagles, if they get a turnover for, you know, pick six, a fumble recovery. I think, you know, a couple plays here and there on the defense is going to make a difference for the Eagles. I'm thinking 27-24. I don't want to see it that close. But I think that's a good indication of where it's going to land. And for some reason, that's just how the Patriots play, and they're always in it. You can never count them out. But obviously, I think the Eagles will be on top on this one. So 27-24. And I think we're going to see Nick Foles as the MVP.
Wow, okay. All right, Rhino, just coming to the podcast. Appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, man, it's been a blast. Thanks Absolutely. For having me back, and if they're back next year, I hope to run it back again.
Yes, sir. Once again, thank you to Danny Picard of the Danny Picard Show and, of course, my good friend Ryan Aller for coming on the podcast today. Tomorrow's show will be a good one. We're talking prop bets. We're talking Super Bowl lines, which has moved since opening at 6 points on right after the AFC NFC title games about a week and a half ago. Seems like eons ago that those games happened. We're going to have, of course, our good friend Zach the Degenerate on the show. We'll go over the line as well as some prop bets of surrounding Super Bowl 52. And then Friday, of course, the Friday football focus show with Boston Jack. We'll go over some news around the NFL, of course. But mainly that show will be focusing mainly on the game itself, some of the minutiae and all the nuts and bolts of the game, the matchups, all that. And it should be a good one. Again, follow me on Twitter at EJChristian7. Of course, all the podcasts at Earn Speaking Media, the Conversation About Basketball podcast, this show, Earn Speaking Unfiltered, the Earn Speaking Sessions, all that. Until then, God bless you guys. See ya. And until tomorrow.